We pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to you today. Lord, we know that we are the outcast, we are sinners, standing here before you today. Lord, we ask that as we turn to your word now, that you would open our hearts to receive the word, Lord, that we can certainly apply that word to our lives as we live them in this world, so that we can be a witness of who you are to the people around us, and also understand and fully know that we are forgiven. Lord, block out a few of the distractions that might be racing through our minds right now so that we can simply listen to your words here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing with our series, Doctrine Matters. Last Sunday, we looked at a couple of words that, as Luther's explanation of Luther's Small Catechism explains to us, that we need to be able to make a distinction between these two words. And so, can anyone tell me what two words we talked about last week? Law and gospel. You know, we need to, must be able to make that distinction between law and gospel, really, in order to understand what God's word has to say for us. Now, we also looked at the idea that the law shows us our what? Anybody remember? The law shows us our sin. And I think I threw a few people off when I said there's three uses of the law. Can anybody recite those three today?
Curb,
mirror, and guide. Okay, and so we looked at the whole idea of the curb, you know, as in a street, you know, keeping the cars off the sidewalks and stuff. Typically happens, sometimes it fails too. But typically speaking, the curb, the law being the curb, keeps society into check. The second one, the mirror, simply is the statement, the law shows us our sin. It shows us that we're sinful. And then the guide is for us then as Christians, living our lives in the world. And so then the second one, the gospel, then shows us our Savior. So the law shows us our sin, and the gospel shows us our Savior. Today we're going to shift our attention to two more words, and I'll talk to the kids about those, saint and sinner. And the whole idea of which one are we? I mean, we know that we know what a sinner is, and I mean, the kids spelt that out right away. It doesn't take much, doesn't really take a rocket scientist to figure out who a sinner is, right? Someone who commits a sin. It's someone who doesn't obey the laws, doesn't obey especially God's laws. So a sinner, we have that part down pretty well. A saint, there was a little bit of a struggle with the kids, if you saw that, you know, but they did pretty good. We talked about this in the second week of this series when we looked at justification and sanctification. Justification is simply being made right before God. How are we made right before God? And so being made right before God, being righteous before God, is being a saint. So believers in Jesus Christ who have new life in Christ are righteous before God, not because of their doing, but because of what God has done for them through Jesus. So they are therefore a saint. So the question I pose to the kids, which I pose to you, is, are you a saint or a sinner? And if someone asks you that question, what is your response? Yes, I am a saint and a sinner. Now the problem is, and I said to the kids here, believe it or not, whether we want to think so or not, this poses a problem for people. This poses a problem for some Christians. Because this is, while this is a Christian doctrine, I'm going to say it's not a doctrine that's necessarily adopted or believed by all Christian churches. And I'll get to that a little bit later. But I think our Romans passage for today really lays out this whole idea that Paul himself was even struggling with this whole issue. And so I want to start with verse 14 of chapter 7. I believe that's where I am. Is that right? Yeah, 14 of chapter 7. And it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Now I challenge you to read those last couple of verses as fast as you can. Because it really gets tongue twisting to say, "I do not do what I want, but what I want to do, I want," you know, you just lose yourself real quickly. But Paul, I mean, what he's saying here, I'm going to say we've all experienced before. And what I mean by that is, I don't know if you've ever gotten up in the morning or kind of start your day, and you make this sort of internal promise to yourself of some sort. You know, it might go something like this. You know, today I am going to try to be more positive with my spouse. Or today I'm going to try to find some really good things to say about my children. Or if you're a student in school, maybe you wake up one morning and you say, "You know, today I am really going to respect my teachers and listen in class." Or maybe you woke up this morning and said, "You know, I'm going to go to church this morning, and Pastor Rich, that guy is really hard to follow, and I'm going to try my hardest to follow his message today." Whatever those kind of internal promises are that you make, I mean, we're sincere about those, right? I mean, we want to do what's right. We want to do things that's pleasing to God. But what happens during the course of the day? We sin. Yes. I'm not respectful to my teacher. I find more ways to criticize people than to build them up. It happens. And that's what Paul is getting at here. The things I want to do, I do not do. And the things I don't want to do is what I find myself doing. I mean, it's just a struggle. And then it goes on. It talks about that struggle in verse 21. "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." You know, in our minds, we know exactly what we want to do and what we're supposed to do. But our bodies just take over. And they do the things that we're not supposed to do. They do the things that we don't want to do. And so it's an inner struggle. It's a war that's raging against each other inside of us. And thanks be to God that he sent his son Jesus to take care of that. And so this morning, as we think about saint and sinner, Martin Luther, at the time of the Reformation, really captured the essence of this saint-centered idea in a Latin phrase that is simul justus et peccator. And so if we can put that on the screen, I want to walk you through this. So simul simply means in our language today, does anybody know? Simultaneously. So at the same time, simultaneously, justus is just. So that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You can even see that word in there. So just, which is righteous, translated righteous a lot of times from Latin into our English language, righteous or just, and we've talked about this in justification, made right before God. And so if we're righteous and we're made right before God, what does that make us? We've already used it this morning. It's one of our key words, saint. Okay, so we're simultaneously saint and et. We all know what et is. It's, I think, the participle of the word, the verb eat. Have you et your food yet? Is that eat, ate, et? Or it's eaten, right? Okay, so et is simply a conjunction. It's and. Okay, so simultaneously just or saint, and you know the rest of it because it's the whole thing we're talking about this morning, but does that look like sinner there? Peccator? Yeah. So, but that phrase, simultaneously saint and sinner, that does not mean that we're 50% saint and 50% sinner. It also doesn't mean that we are at one point 100% saint and at the next moment 100% sinner. It means that we are 100% saint and 100% sinner. This poses a problem for a lot of people because you cannot be two things at one time, can you? But guess what? For us Lutherans, it doesn't pose a problem at all because we're just weird, okay? We don't care if we're two things at one time. We can be a saint and we can be a sinner at the same time. And I say this as an issue, and maybe you don't understand that or see that, but I actually had someone come to me after a funeral sermon that I preached. Because if you've ever been to a funeral that I preach, I usually talk about how the person that has passed away is a sinner. Because we can't make them too good, right? Because they certainly didn't get to heaven on their own. And so they are a sinner. And when I describe that, I also include who? Myself and everyone here. And so this morning, the same way. I am a sinner, and everyone here is a sinner. Well, I had someone come in my office the day after the funeral and said, hey, I wanted to ask you about that whole thing when you said that you are a sinner. I said, that's me. That is me. I am a sinner. He said, but you can't be. He said, you can't be. Are you a believer in Jesus? I said, yes. You can't be. You can't be both a believer in Jesus and a sinner. I said, why not? He said, you just can't. He said, you're either a saint or you're a sinner. I said, no, I am a saint and a sinner. And our dialogue just kept building. And the whole hang-up was, if you are a saint, you cannot be a sinner because you are now a new life in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. But Paul clearly says in this Romans passage what? That there's a war that's waging between us, that we are a sinner. But yet we stand right before God because of what Jesus did. And so we are a saint and a sinner. I tried to explain to this person that, okay, so then that would be pretty hard to deal with. Okay, I'm a sinner because I asked, do you sin? Yes. Okay, so I've sinned. I'm a sinner. Okay, I've asked forgiveness, so now, oh boy, I'm a saint because I've asked for forgiveness. God loves me now again because he died for my sins and I've asked for forgiveness, and so now I'm a saint. Oh shoot, that only lasted 1 second. Now I'm a sinner again. And so now I'm condemned again. Okay, now I'm a saint again. I mean, if you die in one of those positions, if you die as a sinner, what happens? You're condemned. If I die as a saint, oh, glory be, I'm saved, right? Can you see? This is what Luther struggled with, the battle that was waging within him, that this struggle between, okay, I'm a sinner, now I'm a saint. I can't handle this, because how do you ever know if you're saved? That's why we are saint and sinner at the same time. We are a sinner because that's part of just our original sin. It's part of our nature. It's who we are. We sin daily. But yet at the same time, we've been covered by the blood of Jesus. Jesus has saved us through his shed blood on the cross. He brings us forgiveness. And we stand holy and righteous before God, even in the midst of our sinful nature. We are both a saint and a sinner. You see, that when people struggle with that idea, what they're saying is, you can't be both. And in fact, this person told me that they're not a saint or a sinner, but they're a saint struggling with sin. And I thought, for crying out loud, don't play those semantic games with me. If you're a saint struggling with sin, you're going to give in, right? And if you're a saint and you struggle with sin and you give in to sin, what does that make you? It makes you, I don't care how you try to split the thread on that one, you're still a sinner. And so we as believers in Jesus Christ, even though we have been saved by the blood of Jesus, we are still going to sin. Because in fact, do you know what that type of thinking brings about? If I'm a saint that's struggling with sin, guess what? I might just get to the point where I don't struggle anymore. And then what have I done? I've completely kicked the need of Jesus out of the way, right? Because if I'm a sinner and I'm a saint just struggling with sin, I could possibly get to the point where I don't even need Jesus anymore. And I think I've said that before. I need Jesus. You need Jesus, right? We need Jesus as a part of our life because he is the one that brings us forgiveness. We are a saint and a sinner. And if someone asks you, are you a saint and a sinner? What will you say? Yes. You got it. I'm both. I'm a sinner that messes up daily, but I'm a saint because Jesus has stepped into my life and has brought me forgiveness in life. Let's pray. Lord, we certainly do thank you for this day. We thank you for reassuring us that you did come into this world to live a perfect life that we are unable to live, and to die on the cross to bring forgiveness to us. Lord, we ask that we rejoice in that forgiveness, because in that forgiveness you make us righteous, you make us just before you. But Lord, be with us as we live our lives in this world, as we do battle with sin each day, the temptations that come our way. Strengthen us, and Lord, at times I know you will be able to help us resist those. But Lord, when we're not able to, we know that you stand in our place and that you forgive us. Just help us this week to live our lives for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.